sounds of material enjoyment or suffering, it's difficult to say which. You might want to start recording. Instead of giving a regular Srimad Bhagavatam class, this morning I'll give a different form to the Krishna Katha, discussing some project in mind, and then after that we can have some questions and answers. There's devotees wanted to ask me some different questions, so want to ask something? Some others also, so we can just have a general questions and answers session. So the project in mind, something I've been thinking of for many years, but seems that now it may be able to. Now means in the upcoming months and years, may be able to take a practical shape. Is an academy for what from our lower perspective may be considered higher studies of Vaishnavism, philosophy, and culture, for study, for research, for teaching, for writing books, there's a need for this. Everything we need to become fully Krishna conscious is in Prabhupada's books. There's also, Prabhupada left us a whole universe of Vaishnava culture to reveal to the world as far as possible. There are also many or most persons in the world don't have faith in Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada himself speaks of research, for instance, in one purport, in the third canto. Just a short purport, he said that this statement can be the subject of great scientific research. Just for instance, one area is that here in South India, we find there are sometimes challenges or doubts expressed by persons from other Vaishnava sampradayas, not to speak of the Mayavadis. And these are not only in South India, these are also out on the internet. And sometimes people, they blaspheme Prabhupada. Just yesterday I got an email saying that why does Bhaktivedanta call his Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then at the end of each chapter say, thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport. It's his purport. Actually, Bhaktivedanta here may mean A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, but it also means it's the name, it's not just a name, just like some may get a name, Samir, Sumit, some name like this, Sentil, some such name, but the name is full of meaning. So the Bhaktivedanta purport means that the purport is revealing bhakti as the summit of all Vedic knowledge. So when you say the Bhaktivedanta purport, it doesn't mean only written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, but it means the purport that reveals what Krishna said, as it is, that bhakti is the ultimate level of all knowledge. That's why for great personalities, nam and nami is a bhinna. Krishna is not just a name, but he is Krishna, he is all attractive. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he's not It's not just a name, but he is Bhakti Siddhanta. His whole being is non-different from the Siddhanta of Bhakti, which is Bhakti. And he is Saraswati, in as much as Saraswati is always, he is a manifestation, or he is Saraswati, in as much as everything he speaks is. It's not just some mental concoction, but it's directly spoken by Saraswati, the Shuddha Saraswati, who is always glorifying Krishna. So in the same way, the name Bhaktivedanta is not just some name that someone decided to give. Just as Agnidev presented Krishna the Sudarshan Chakra, so one of Prabhupada's godbrothers gave Prabhupada the name Bhaktivedanta, which is his eternal attribute and name. So like this, it's just an example, one of the many. There are so many challenges which require to be met, and that's not all. That in itself is a huge area, showing how Gauriya Siddhanta is actually Siddhanta. Others, they may be called Siddhanta, but real Siddhanta means Purna, complete and perfect. Whereas whatever else goes under the name of Siddhanta is only Angshan or partial. So to demonstrate that is not a small job. That requires much research and understanding and appreciation of what the Acharyas have given. So this project is not for intellectual aggrandizement, although it will also serve the purpose of engaging intellectually minded persons who've come to Krishna consciousness, instead of running off to some mundane university to get to write PhD thesis in language language acceptable to the karmis. They can write PhD thesis, or not. It doesn't require to be written as PhD thesis. It can be written in the language acceptable to the acharyas. So, like everything else that is done in Krishna consciousness, this must be done as a service to the acharyas, to uphold the dignity of our acharyas, to demonstrate to the world who are these tremendous personalities. Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, then read my books. And Prabhupada's books are unlimited. And we have our previous acharyas, how much they've written, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how much he wrote. It's just phenomenal, especially considering that he was a congregational devotee. As there would be, of course, there was no institution, like full-time, there were no full-time devotees. There were Babaji's who didn't write books, hardly. So he had a full-time job at a big firm. He wrote so much in all different genres, what's another word for that, all different types of, he wrote novels and very sharp or tight philosophical works, his songs, so many, and the whole Vaishnava philosophy and the whole spiritual world is in, Prabhupada said the whole spiritual world is in the song Jai Radha Madhava, so what, there's only four lines, so what to speak of all the other, it's just staggering, even from our conditioned perspective, even a little awakening of Krishna consciousness, we can begin to appreciate what are the gifts of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So staggering. Then so many works of our acharyas, they have to be translated into different languages as far as is possible, because the English and other Western languages are not very suitable for expressing the works of the previous, anything written in, especially the Vaishnava works, which are written in Sanskrit and other Indian languages. So the works of our acharyas, they also need to be translated. They're mostly written in Bengali and Sanskrit, our Gaudiya Vaishnava works. They also need to be translated into other Indian languages, because they don't know what is the treasure house of the Gaudiya Acharyas. And also, the works of acharyas of other sampradayas, they should also be translated into all the different languages of the world. It's not that we are in attempting to show the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, or that what he has given is indeed unatajvala rasa, the topmost representation of rasa. And rasa itself is, what is rasa? The Gaudiya Vaishnava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, the presentation of rasa, which is on the very highest level. So it's not to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings as the topmost is not in a spirit of competition or denigration of the great acharyas, Madhva, Ramanuja, and others in their lines and other Vaishnava lines, but also in service to them, understanding them to be also great devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that their contributions are also of tremendous benefit to the world. So all this needs to be brought out in the form of millions of books, and not only millions of books, but millions of persons who are imbued and inspired with the knowledge in those books to go from place to place, or stay in one place, whatever, and speak the knowledge in these books, so that and behave as Vaishnavas, so that by their activities and their speaking, others can also take to Krishna consciousness. So that's only one area, is establishing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness among the other sampradayas and showing the glory of our acharyas, translating books. So those are some different areas, but that's only part. There are also so many modern philosophies or misphilosophies which are misleading people, and they're also presented in a sophisticated manner, so that the people of the world are misled by so many different wrong philosophies and it seems to them that they are right. The empiric method, adhyakshik vritti, or the that appears to be the to mundane people to be axiomatically correct. So what are the defects of that method? That has to be pointed out and vigorously campaigned against. And alongside with that, by taking up their method, it can be shown how their conclusions are also incorrect. For instance, they persons who are addicted to the empiric method, they mostly take it as axiomatic that, just to give one example, one or two examples, that this is modern academia. They are promoting all over the world, the two things go on side by side, that women and men should have exactly the same social roles. There should be no distinction whatsoever. And that those who do, and that homosexuals should be fully accepted within society, and that there should be no discrimination against them, and whatever they want to do as homosexuals, that should be considered quite proper and normal and acceptable. So these two agendas, they go on side by side. Women's lib and gay rights, they're going on side by side. They're being promoted by the intellectuals, so-called intellectuals, all over the world. And they're not content with that their own society at home is messed up, which they presume is more advanced, but they're determined to bring it into the what they call the less developed world also. And they presume that anyone who doesn't agree with this, they call it homophobia, if you don't agree with homosexual rights. And the way they write their reports, it's understood that they just take it for granted that anyone who doesn't accept this, anyone who's not in favor of accepting homosexuals as completely normal persons with every right to be supported by society in their demoniac activities, that anyone who thinks that such activities are demoniac, that they are wrong, they are living in an old world kind of consciousness, they're unreasonable, they're unfair, etc., etc., etc. So, most of the people of the world, having gone through the modern education system, presume that this, the methods that these demoniac scholars take up are correct. That they do analysis and they make social studies, and they go on to show that homosexuals are actually normal people and in every way, just one thing different, but like this. So these things have to be argued against, at least within our Vaishnava society, as there is now being promoted within our Vaishnava society, not surprisingly, just after the women's liberation movement, comes the gay rights movement, and it's being promoted within Vaishnava society. So to protect Vaishnava society from attacks from within and from without by the modern academic approach, it's required that not all devotees, but at least some devotees, become expert in that modern academic approach. Actually, some of our devotees started going back to university with the idea of learning that academic approach so that they could introduce Krishna consciousness within the universities, but instead they're introducing the academic misconceptions within ISKCON. They became converted. They didn't convert the mundane scholars, they became converted. At least it appears. Some of them, definitely. So, and they also just presume the same thing. If you don't agree with them, then you're just some misfit who doesn't really understand. And the worst thing is they start to reinterpret the teachings of Shastra. and what Prabhupada said and all these things. So it's a very dangerous situation. And they say, they'll say, well, Shastra says this, but you have to understand, and they'll make so many reasons why that was for a different society at a different time, a different place, or we can't accept everything Shastra said. We can accept the spiritual teachings, but the material teachings are not known. So in this way, they undermine the very basis of Krishna consciousness, which is yasya deve para bhakti tata deva, yata deve tata deva, tasya aite katita hiyata prakasham deva mahatmanaha. The faith in Guru, Bhagavan, and Shastra is undermined. We have to understand their teachings with our intelligence, which is true, but that intelligence means the intelligence which follows Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, not which tries to supersede Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So by understanding by intelligence doesn't mean that we adopt an empiric method. So some devotees have to become expert enough to counter them in their own language and on their own grounds, inside and outside. Outside may also be required, definitely will be required, because now it's quite likely that soon in many countries in Europe, they're going to bring laws that religious institutions, if they don't give full rights to gays, such as allowing their marriage within the church and all this, that they will lose their tax status, and they may be fined or closed down. This is the way the world is going. So how to defend that? We have to consider. The way things are in our society at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if they just went along with it. If they just compromised with it, right? Oh, well, otherwise we'll have to close our temple and we'll have to pay tax and all this kind of thing. So our movement, as far as we see at the present time, is not committed to principles, it's committed to a so-called pragmatism. So we want to develop a class of devotees who are learned, and at the